And then 1237.
Authorized purchase of 24 vehicles and equipment for use by the Portland Bureau of Transportation at $1,500,000.
And this one was also pulled because of its dollar amount. So come on up, please tell us about this one.
Sure. Good morning, Mayor and City Council. The item before you today is to purchase 24 pieces of equipment that are part of the Fix Our Streets program and part of a program with Peabot, of course. And so just wanted to mention that the vehicles that we need are needed because because I just do the equipment part, and Suzanne can talk about the crews because she operates them, but we're actually adding crews. Rental equipment on this highly specialized pieces of equipment are not readily available. And the equipment, if we were to rent it, can be quite expensive. For example, the message boards to rent would be about $1,100 a month. So over the 48 months that the program will be in place, that would be about, over $50,000, $52,800. So it can be quite expensive. And then what we did is we took a look at all the equipment, and we looked at what would a rental piece be if we could find it. And in the 4 years, we would still spend about $1.5 million that we were going to spend to buy the equipment. And we would expect the equipment to last many more years because the economic life cycle on the equipment is around 10 years. Of course, it's dependent upon its class that it belongs to, but the city will actually save money over the long haul. And then should the program go away, we've identified homes within the fleet. So we would replace the older equipment and then move these dump trucks and other pieces of equipment into an existing program.
John, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
This has come up in the past, and I see that there's a sedan that's part of the equipment we're purchasing, one of the vehicles. Are any of these vehicles being sold by a vendor here in Portland?
Yes, we do. We use a local vendor, and we may use, as was mentioned a minute ago, with a state procurement process to get the best deal on them, but we bring them in through the local dealers whenever possible.
Because I remember years ago we had this discussion when the police were buying some cars, and because of the business license fee, there was a cost differential between buying it from a dealer in Portland versus a dealer in Clackamas or something. And the council raised some concerns about not using our dollars to invest in a local business. Are we making a conscious effort here within the law to spend our money locally?
Yes, a very conscious effort. And in fact, there are a number of, I would call them consortiums or cooperative agreements that we can use. But the state has turned out to be pretty low. I might just use another example of another type sedan, and it was actually $1,900 more to go through this outside agency, which was still a consortium. So we do compare prices between the different ones, and still the bottom line to answer your question is we're bringing it in through a local dealer whenever we can.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
Other questions? I think it's quite satisfying to both Commissioner Novick and me that we need more equipment to keep up with the amount of paving that you're doing. So that's good news.
Very satisfied.
Thank you.
Indeed,
all
it
right.
is.
Thanks. Okay. Anyone want to speak on this item? Come on up.
Good morning. My name is Joe Wolves. I represent Individuals for Justice. A couple of questions I had. You're picking up 24 vehicles under this expenditure. It seems to me that sitting here week after week, that all the bureaus are now getting new vehicles. Everybody seems to get new vehicles. The cops are getting them, the fighters are getting them, these guys are getting them. But they last for 10 years. That's what you're saying. So why does it seem... It's very rude to leave when a citizen is talking, Mr. Novick.
Go ahead, please.
The second part is that I like the question that Commissioner Fish brought up about doing it locally, and I'm curious of what decides the price range that we would go beyond local. So if the price range is, say, on a vehicle $28,000 and it went to $35,000, would that take us out into the state? Do we have a concrete wall? Because it seems that what you're suggesting is we keep as much in a local area as possible. But it was a little fudgy when you were questioning the panel, that they said, well, we kind of try to do that. As an ex-union steward, I don't like those kind of answers. I want answers that say, this is what we do. If we go to $35,000, we go to Salem and see if we can get a better price. That would make a lot of sense. And at what level do we decide that?
I will try to get answers to those questions back from the staff when testimony's done.
Okay.
Those are the
biggest points, and I really appreciate Commissioner Fish bringing that up, because we should do that, especially in the present circumstances of our government. We should keep everything local.
Well, Joe, I think especially where we're taxing ourselves to maintain our streets, it would be sort of odd for us to tax ourselves and then go to a lower tax jurisdiction that isn't and spending our dollars there if the law allows us to buy local.
But I have a tendency that says that I want the best buy. So that's the way we've been brought up, to get the best bargain. And I'm saying that sometimes the best bargain is not the best bargain. And it hurts the local if we go outside the local just because we can save a few thousand dollars.
Yeah, that's a good
so
question.
I really appreciate you bringing it up.
I think we'll get them back up at the end, but I think the answer to your first question is these aren't replacement vehicles. These are more vehicles. We have to make the fleet bigger because we're doing more work.
I know government is growing.
Well, it is in this case because we passed a gas tax and we're doing 100 miles a street a year instead of 35. So it takes more trucks to do 100 miles than it takes to do 35. I think I got that right. But the other question of what's our buy local policy and how much more are we willing to pay for somebody who's paying Portland taxes is a good question, and we'll get them back up and get an answer for that. But I might have it right on the size of the fleet rather than cycle of the fleet question. Okay, Lightning?
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. I absolutely agree with them purchasing the vehicles new. One of the things I didn't hear is I was hoping that they would have some type of warranties on these new vehicles. I didn't hear anything on that because that's real important to me on the longevity and maybe deferring some of that maintenance cost to a warranty. Because I noticed that on the gas tax itself is for street repair, but my understanding on that gas tax that can also be used to maintenance of the vehicles themselves. So I believe I'm correct on that, but that really makes a big difference. I just want to make sure that when you do purchase new, that possibly warranties are negotiated with these companies, and I'm hoping they are. And just another issue I guess I have is that I'm hoping these type of vehicles also can be used for other bureaus. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. And again, what I was talking about is maybe for like parks, when we were talking about dredging, I know that they when you take the sediments to on-land facilities, they normally use dump trucks to do that. So I'm hoping other bureaus can get use out of these vehicles. And again, I absolutely approve on the purchase and just hope there's warranties included in the deals. Thank you.
Okay, good questions. So why don't you come back up, please, and let's answer those questions. One, is it right about more vehicles versus replacement? What kind of warranties do we get, and what is our threshold for when we would buy locally versus buy outside of the city at maybe a slightly better price?
So I'll start. I'm Suzanne Kahn from Transportation. Yes, you are correct. These are additional vehicles, not replacement vehicles, so that we can do more work. The preventive maintenance question, I think, is an important one to us and to City Fleet. our most recent completion rate for preventive maintenance on all our vehicles, and we have a fleet of nearly 200 rolling stock, is over 90%. So we are committed to maintaining the vehicles we have. We also
about warranties versus our own maintenance. I mean, they have a warranty, I assume. They're a
yes.
new vehicle. Yeah.
Sure. Again, John Hunt, City Fleet Manager, and I really appreciate Joe's question very, very much, because we live and breathe fleet. And the way we go about our business is very much like you would go about your business at home. You first decide what type of equipment you might need, what's its range, what's the payload capacity, how far do I need to reach with that piece of equipment. And then once that's determined, then we go out to bid either through, you know, our local bidding process that you're very familiar with, or if we can use an already bid process, then we'll do that. But it's really driven by the piece of equipment itself and getting the lowest price. You know, that's the first thing we look at. But then within the local area, we have to look at, is there a dealer? Does that dealer supply the piece of equipment or the volume? Does that dealer support the warranty on the piece of equipment that we're buying? Do they supply the parts? Because remember, we buy parts on an ongoing basis around the year through all the local dealer, so that they, you know, in different parts outlets, so that we can provide the economy with some, you know, funding that way. So, yeah, great question. And then each vehicle in its class, whether it's a sedan or a dump truck, each one has its own economic life cycle, which is put together through statistical analysis of the cost of the fleet. And we also look at outside agencies. When we were up here not long ago, we called Seattle, and we were talking to them about their life cycles as well. And so it really is a science in what we do, and that's why we're very proud to have a centralized fleet management division, that we're able to provide the city with the lowest cost possible on any of the pieces of equipment that we procure.
Yeah, so what about the price point question? So a Portland dealer is going to be paying 2%, 2.3% of net profit as Portland business income tax. So I could make an argument that we could pay a little bit more for a vehicle acquired from a Portland dealer, because some of it's coming back in terms of local taxes. Do we have those kinds of factors when you finally get down to the bottom line? I've got this proposal from this dealer and that proposal from that one, and one of them's in town and the other's not. How does that work out in practice?
Well, this has come up over the years many, many times, and so we kind of look at a sphere of influence around fleet, and we're looking at the closest because of our ability to get the parts and the equipment in quicker. And but I'd be happy to provide you with a breakdown analysis, because it can get kind of tricky when you're looking at overall the taxes that are paid in different areas or rates that are paid on top. So it's a pretty deep, but the bottom line is we're always looking for the lowest cost and buying through.
John, let me yeah. pick up on the mayor's
yeah.
question.
Sure.
Because you analogize this to what we may do as consumers, and I'm gonna draw a distinction.
Sure.
If we as consumers were only concerned about cost, then we'd shop at Walmart and we'd buy our books from Amazon versus going to our neighborhood retailer or going to Powell's bookstore. So in fact, we get to balance as consumers cost and value and our values. So I mean, I would rather spend an extra dollar and go to a neighborhood business to support a local business than going to a mall and getting maybe a dollar savings off a chain that has no tie to our community. Likewise, I'd rather go to a bricks and mortar bookstore and pay closer to full market than to give it to an internet company that's not paying any Oregon taxes and isn't supporting Little League and isn't doing anything for our community. The question that we keep grappling with, though, is what does the law allow us to do? We understand that the Commerce Clause and federal law, they're laws that constrain us. And if I like the fact that you said that the proximity of the dealer is a value. So in other words, you're thinking in terms of if there's a problem, you don't have to travel 10 miles, you can go a mile, and that factors into your equation. But I think what the council continues to be interested in is how can we promote the buy local component of our procurement legally? And you said it's a complicated mix. I guess we'd like a signal of what additional things can we do to create, in effect, an incentive for us to buy local, where price is one of a number of factors.
And I think that this would be a very good question for Christine and I maybe to come back and visit with you, because that buy local is a very important component to the overall purchasing process. And I really like what you mentioned about when we set our spec, we set the minimum, so we're not buying something that will not work or only lasts half as long, or the distance traveled to get the part is outside of our service area. All of those are mixed together in the decision-making process, so that's perfect. But yeah, we'd be happy to give you an analysis on the local piece, because we have had some situations where there may be a closer dealer, but they've chosen not to supply that particular product, so we have to go to the next closest one. So it's not always as easy as just kind of drawing a circle around and saying, okay, we're absolutely going to go to this person. But we try really hard to do what you're looking to do. It's in the mix of thought that we put into each project.
Okay, I think I have a suggestion. I appreciate Mr. Walsh and Mr. Lightning's questions ventilating this. We have an approach to construction contracts where we take the lowest responsible bidder, and we're about to hear a report from our socially responsible investment committee about how we bank our money. So it seems like we ought to take a similar approach to purchasing. And you're right, it is complicated, a lot of factors to weigh. But we have this new discipline, which we just actually used yesterday, of these Gator sessions, that is government accountability through transparency and results, led by our independent budget office staff. And we've looked into a couple of issues like sidewalk paving and building permits for affordable housing, and then police staffing reallocation around the city, using this model of having independent professionals from our budget office plus the bureau plus commissioner's staffs bear down on that management question. It seems to me we might want to queue up the next Gator session on this topic of how do we use value. Somebody came in here and said this the other day, it's price, value, and values. And how do we make sure that those three principles are all being applied in situations like this? You know, you're a professional, you've got a lot of factors to weigh, but we also want to bring policy into that discussion so you know it's okay to do the right thing as it's been defined by that kind of policy. So it sounds like this one is maybe a candidate for that kind of in-depth look. You think so?
Well, I think that would be a fine thing to do, but I also think that we need to get going on fixing the streets, too. So
yeah, no, we should go ahead and do this one. I'm not saying we should hold this one up. I'm saying let's go ahead and do this one. But the issue's been raised for how do we do this over time? We buy stuff all the time. So
absolutely.
I think it would be good to have that kind of in-depth look for the future, not just for transportation, obviously. That makes sense to the council? I'll suggest that as the next Gator session and get that queued up.
And by the way, I mean, this is complicated, but it can't be any more complicated than our discussions about equity and contracting.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
That's mind-numbingly complicated.
Yeah.
And we've figured out a path to make sure that dollars under the community benefits plans, that dollars stay home.
Right.
If we can figure it out and we make those investments, why not when we're actually doing things in a retail setting?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, thank you. Appreciate your work on this one and the opportunity to look into the practice more broadly. With that, anyone ready to vote? Let's take action then on this purchase, please.
Novick?
It is very, very exciting that we are doing more work and buying more equipment to do it. This is one more milestone on the way to streets in better repair. So thank you very much.
I pulled this item partly because of the dollar figure, partly because I wanted the explanation for community members about that it's buying more vehicles and it's using the gas tax money and why that's appropriate. And finally today, it's thank you, Commissioner Novick, thank you, Mayor Hales. This program of fixing more streets is certainly one of your lasting legacies for both of you on this council, and I'm hoping we can do several more before the end of the year. Aye.
Fish?
Appreciate the discussion and the testimony and the colloquy with council. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Hales.
We're going to do, $64 million worth of work. It's reasonable to buy $1.5 million worth of tools. Aye.
74.